Our scripture reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be confirmed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, James. So when my grandparents were married, it was a very small ceremony in my grandmother's childhood home. And it was a very humble wedding. It was family only. There was a pastor there. And looking back at pictures of my grandparents, my grandmother, Mary Alice, was in a beautiful wedding dress. And her husband, my grandfather, Kenneth, was in a uniform. He was in an army uniform because he had been drafted to go and serve during the Korean War. He, along with his seven brothers, were all drafted to serve during the Korean War. And so they gathered there in that house. They took their vows and said, till death do us part, a vow that many of y'all have maybe said with your spouse in this room. And a few days later, he shipped out overseas to serve during the Korean War. He said his goodbyes. He boarded a ship to cross the ocean with his twin brother. They went together went first to Germany, and the whole way over there, he was sick. My grandfather was sick, and he wrote about his sickness to my grandmother, and he and his twin brother were gone for almost 2 years. The first 2 years of their marriage, they were separated from one another. And the story goes that my great-aunt Lois, my grandmother's sister, encouraged her not to marry him and said, don't tie yourself to this guy. It's not smart. It's not practical for what might happen, being called over to go and serve. But nobody could talk her out of it. And so it was a really small wedding. It was really intimate. And the story goes that they tell is that not even war could keep them from loving each other, from marrying one another. Not even war could keep them apart. They were married for 67 years. And ultimately it was death that parted them. My grandfather passed away before her. That's an incredible feat, 67 years. Almost as incredible as the 71 years that she was a member of her small Baptist church in Cedar Grove, West Virginia. She lived right next door to the church, and that's where we had her funeral, and I remember talking about the love that they had for one another at both of their funerals. And could you imagine the first 2 years of your marriage being apart from one another, sending pictures back and forth, writing letters to one another? Our scripture reading this morning comes from a letter that Paul is writing to a church that is struggling with separation and healing from separation. It's a community that was together. We know from the book of Acts that it had existed for a while, this church in Rome, and it was made up of Jewish and non-Jewish followers of Christ. And you might remember that as Jesus was Jewish, and as this whole early church is developing, there's a lot of conversation and argument and kind of working out the kinks of what does this mean? Is this a new religion? Was Jesus trying to reform the Jewish religion? And so you have these Christians, these followers of Jesus, who have very different interpretations of what it means to be in this early and new church. And back then, the Roman Emperor Claudius expelled all Jewish people from Rome for 5 years. And 5 years later, they were allowed to come back. And so when these Jews come back to this city, they find that their church is very different. They find a church in Rome that had become very non-Jewish in approach. So by Paul's day, this church is separated. And so he writes this letter to this church to try and help unify them in God's love, because you have these Jewish Christians and these Gentile Christians disagreeing about how to follow Jesus. The Jewish Christians are saying, you know, as they come back into this church, you guys have to be circumcised, and you have to eat kosher, and you have to observe the Sabbath, and the way you're living is actually blasphemous. And the Gentile Christians are saying, it's so good to have you back. We've missed you. And all of your opinions on how to live our lives. And they're like, no, we don't have to do any of that now because we're free in Christ. Paul writes in another letter, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so they take that as, yeah, we you know, we're free from this law and rule that used to be so prevalent in your lives. We don't have to do that anymore. So Paul writes this letter, the book of Romans, this letter to this church, and lays out to them the fullest explanation of the gospel, the good news about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And in our reading this morning, we hear what might be the best news of the good news for the Apostle Paul. And Paul formulates this hymn, essentially. The latter part of what James read for us is this hymn in Romans chapter 8. And it has this beautiful meter and cadence and rhythm. And he kind of starts with this rhetorical question. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who or what will separate us from the love of Christ? And he lists this litany of things that the church in Rome had been going through, things himself that maybe Paul went through. And again, phrases them in the form of a question. He says, will hardship or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword separate us from the love of Christ? Will these things, these harsh realities of life, have the capacity to separate us from the love of Christ? And I think it's a question worth exploring for us as well, because we face hardship of life, we face distress and the twistedness of life that can lead to separation. For my grandparents, it was war. That was the beginning of their lives together, was the hardship of being separated due to war and a call, a mandate to serve. Maybe for you, it was something different. You know, we've all experienced a different version of it. We all have an inner spirit of brokenness that separates us from one another, that even at times separates us from God, even at times separates us from our true selves, the person that God created us to be. And the separation is caused by many different things, but we all see it. And we're all familiar with it when we you know, look through the news app or get on social media, right? Our prejudice, our pride, our fear, our unforgiveness, our inability to forgive, our isolation, our economic and class divides, our political differences, even our religious differences. Similar to the Romans, we as Methodists have recently undergone a rather painful separation from many of our sisters and brothers in Christ in the disaffiliation and in the creation of another Methodist denomination over conversations of human sexuality and inclusion, right? So some of y'all might be lifelong Methodists and you felt the pain of seeing that separation happen. We know it in the church. We're familiar with it and we're not above it. It's that inner propensity that we all have to do what we think is right. Sometimes, even when it hurts people or when it hurts ourselves, sometimes even in the name of Jesus, we do that. Or in the name of our national interests, right? Or perhaps the most accurately, in the name of our own self-interests. We make mistakes. We hurt one another. We're violent and often ruthless. We commit crimes. I had lunch with one of my best friends this week who has a brother who has recently found himself in prison. And he told me the story of one of their first conversations over the phone. And phone calls from prison cost both the caller and the receiver of the call. And while the meter is running, so is the clock, right? There's a limited amount of time you have when you're making a phone call from prison. And there's this automated voice my friend was telling me that tells you how much time you have remaining. And it starts with, you have 15 minutes remaining. And then 15 minutes turns into 10, and then into 5, right? And then my friend hears this robotic voice say, you have 1 minute remaining. And he very quickly tries to tell his brother everything that he's been wanting to tell him on this phone call before it ends. He says, brother, I've been talking with your wife and your kids, and we're gonna have your back out here. We're gonna take care of your family, and I want you to know that I love you, and your call has ended. Click. And in that moment of separation, my friend told me that he not only cried, but wept for like 2 hours. He'd really been able to keep it together up until that moment. All that his family is going through, all that his brother is going through, and it was just like this release, right? Being cut off from his brother just as he was trying to reiterate his unconditional love for him. We live our lives navigating an endless stream of separations. To which Paul asks this question, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or war or religious differences or even prison? To which Paul answers his own question with a resounding no. We heard it in verse 37. No, he says to these rhetorical questions. And all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is so for us, Paul is saying, so in love with us that God separated himself from his only son so that we might be unseparated from God. Maybe that's all you need to hear this morning. Maybe that's the one sentence sermon that you can take with you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Period. Not even prison, My friend, as we were having lunch, he's a Christian, and he reminded me of something that he had been reminding his brother of, which really spoke to me, that Christians have had a long history of being in prison. Paul himself was in prison multiple times. He wrote many of his letters from a jail cell. And my friend's prayer for his brother in prison is that he would experience the presence of the saints who have also been in those places before him. And that he is not actually alone in the way the prison system wants him to think that he is alone. And he said to me, we as Christians should not let prison separate us from loving the people who are inside of them. Because Jesus, right? Not because we're good people, not because we care, but because Jesus, not even prison can separate us from the love of God. Because Jesus, not even religious differences can separate us from the love of God. Because Jesus, not even war can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Korean War didn't stop the love that my grandparents have for one another. And for my grandparents, it was till death do us part. That was the covenant. That was the vow. And it is the good news of the Easter season that Jesus takes this covenantal love a step further. It is not till death do us part for Jesus. It is not even death will keep us apart. For I am convinced, Paul says, not even death, not even life, nothing angelic or demonic, not even today or tomorrow, nothing high or low, nothing thinkable or unthinkable. Absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus has embraced us. If nothing can separate us from the love of God, how does this change the way that we live our separated lives? Pray with me. River of gladness, fill my soul. Jesus, you're the greatest thought, God, I know. I see the light, and I see the lightning. I hear your voice inside the cracking thunder, singing, nothing stands between us. Oh, nothing stands between us but love now. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us but love. Amen.